And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 is written, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now, it's important to understand that here, the people who we are supposed to remember, to consider, and to follow their faith, are those who have been faithful in speaking the word of God, and of course, in exercising their faith in it. If the Lord has granted God's people such men, then we must not despise such men, but just as how they have followed Christ, we follow them. And that is what it means to submit to them. When you submit to them, it means that you follow the same faith in which they follow. You are actually submitting to God. There is now a trend out there in the world, and that is this desire among churches that there need not be a pastor. So some would like to go into house churches, but even those who are established churches, they do not really want to have a pastor. And they think that is something that is fine, that is healthy, that is right for the congregation. So, for example, they may used to have a pastor in the past, but after that, when the pastor is due to certain reasons, no more with them, they don't feel a need to have a pastor. And they just want to run along with it. No need for leaders, no need for pastors. And we are therefore free to do what we want. And even if there is a faithful pastor, the pastor is there simply to advise. You know, the pastor is an advisor. He's not a pastor. You must know the difference between a pastor or elder as compared to advisor. The pastor is not there to give you advice, and after that is, oh, I'm free to follow it or not. If it's advice from God's word, it's really God's word, then you should truly follow it. It's not optional. Unless the pastor has said something like, oh, regards to your situation, it's good for you to pray. And then sometimes, because he cannot fully understand your situation, he said, in my current judgment, this is how it's like, but you must go to the scriptures, you must go to your knees and pray. This will be my current suggestion to you. Then, okay. But otherwise, it's something to be taken very seriously, especially it is an explicit command in the scriptures. And the pastors, the elders, they command it. It's not optional. It's not just advice which I can take it, whether I want to follow, I can choose not to follow. It's not like this. Even in terms of suggestions and preferences, if really there is due honor given to the leaders of the church, then whatsoever has been suggested should be taken very, very seriously, but not dismissed. Do not end up being like the people during the time of the Exodus, whereby they confronted Moses and Aaron, and they claimed, "Have the Lord only spoken to you? Have the Lord not also spoken to us?" And of course, it was a grief to both Moses, it was a grief to Aaron. And you know what in the end happened to the people. So this is something that we have to understand. But what we have tonight is the other extreme, the other scenario. And this can really hinder any revival that should happen in a dying people, a dying congregation, a dying church. And if this is currently found in any congregation, well, the spiritual malaise is a very serious one. What does God say right here? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. And here the word wonderful is something that inspires awe, but not in a good way. And so it's not like you go to some attraction, some tourist attraction. Like for example, what is the newly opened attraction in Singapore recently? What is it called? Bird Paradise? No more Bird Park, it's called Bird what?
Bird Paradise.
Bird Paradise, huh? Well, now they call Paradise. You see, they're so clever in branding. Paradise. So you go to the Bird Paradise and then you see all manner of birds. Oh, very beautiful. Oh, the beauty of nature all around you. And then you say, wow, this is so wonderful. That's one way to use the word wonderful. But indeed, it's so beautiful, it's so good. I think if I were to go there, I hope I would really enjoy myself. And I probably would say, well, it is such a marvelous place to be in. Wonderful. But the word wonderful here is not this way. Here, the word wonderful is, it inspires wonder because of how something is so filthy. So in other words, it's like how a person sees filth that is spilled all over the place. Like for example, have any of you done plumbing before or be present when the plumber does his work in a toilet? You didn't know how to do plumbing? Plumbing as in you don't know how to... a plumber is somebody who, let's say if you have certain issues in the toilet, you know, like toilet bowl stuck, you know what is toilet bowl stuck? Toilet bowl stuck, drain not flowing, you ask plumber to go and solve the problem. Now you understand what is a plumber? Plumber is spelled as P-L-U-M-B-E-R. Okay, later, Daniel will help. You help William, okay? So when the plumber goes into to repair a toilet, sometimes dirty water may be spilled all over the toilet floor. Or like sometimes when you see people doing rope works when they are repairing drains, have you seen an incident before where there is dirty water spilled all over the road? I'm not sure if the drivers have seen before, because I've seen before. I have no choice but to drive over it, and I say, oh, why do I have to drive? It was the church van, sorry. I have to drive the church van across this. What a kind of horror, like that is in the heart simply because of how dirty everything is. That's the picture behind the word wonderful, and further, the sense of horror further highlighted by the word horrible. In other words, this wonder that the Lord has, and which the people of the world, or the people of the world observing Israel also have, is that how can such a people, who are supposed to be the people of truth, who are supposed to be a lively people, have this spirit present among them? How did he come to this state? And yet, it's the truth. That was how Israel was like. So much so that we can even say that Israel may at times even behave worse than the nations in the world. Just leave such a distaste in the mouth. And I pray that none of our churches will come to the point whereby when the Gentiles look at our congregations, they say, how can a church conduct itself in this way? If that is the case, I'd rather not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That would mean that the spiritual state of that particular congregation is very, very bad. It's really dying, close to being dead. And it is a situation whereby it is almost close to hopeless. I thank God it's not hopeless, because we know that in the end, the Lord, by His mercies, by His grace, help Israel out of the troubles. But it is so bad that the Lord here had to explain, it's so horrible, because you see these things happening. And instead of faithful pastors, what do you have? The prophets prophesy falsely. So, if you have a congregation whereby there are preachers and pastors who do not want to preach to you the truth, they would want to just preach whatever makes the people happy, then you are in deep, deep trouble. If they also try to tell you that, yeah, I will only preach those portions of God's word that are sweet, I refuse to preach those which are sour doctrines, you are also in deep trouble, because what it means is that I'm basically telling you that this Bible, I can take off all majority of the pages and just give you with a truncated Bible, and this is the truth. The rest of this is not the truth. It's also called preaching falsely, prophesying falsely. And if you have pastors, you have leaders who teach this way, then really there is very little hope for that particular congregation. Remember Romans chapter 10? Now Romans chapter 10 talk about the importance of preachers, right? If there will be no preachers, how will the people hear? And of course, if nobody were to send the preachers and there are no preachers and nobody hear the gospel, then how would the people then be able to find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? So when it comes to the church, it's also the same. If there be no true prophets, no true pastors, no true elders teaching, then what hope is there left for these people to find life? It's gone. In fact, when there is this false preaching, people will be led, in fact, to death, to Satan. I'm sad to say, even in the history of the PP Church, there has been pastors who have been like this. For example, even in FEBC itself, you have people who have taught before the virgin birth of Christ is not unique. And then there will be this teaching. They will also teach that the flood in the book of Genesis is not global. And lo and behold, there will be even people who say, well, with regards to the resurrection, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. These are all the views of the resurrection, A, B, C, D, you are free to choose. As though God's word is multiple choice. If you have such pastors, and they are preaching in the congregation, then the only way in which the congregation can live is that these pastors, you must get them to leave. You must get them to leave. And one thing that is good in Singapore is that there is every 3 years there is this requirement for pastors and elders and deacons to be elected. And you have to understand, what is the purpose of this election. the purpose of this election, you know, way this election must be approached cannot be like that of the world. The people of the world, they will view what different. I can ask Daniel to give us a lecture on this. Hopefully after he graduates, he should be able to explain more. In fact, he should be able to explain more accurately than me. But in general, right, people will view all these political parties and then say, so which one best represent my interests or which one I like best. Sometimes it's not even best represent my interest. Which one I find the most charismatic and then I vote for that person and then the person vote. If I just don't like the person, sometimes I don't even like the person's face, I just say I don't vote for that person. And that's it. If I feel that this particular group is not listening to me, I just vote again. That's it. That's how the world goes about with elections. But a church election is not like this. Used in the right way is actually good for the protection of the church. If you have a pastor that is derelict, that is not preaching the truth, preaching falsehood, false doctrines, or not in line with what the Bible teaches, then that's what the election is for. You have to tell this group of people, says, I'm sorry, you cannot continue in this congregation. Please leave. False prophets. In fact, if a synod, too bad the PP Church doesn't have a synod, but if there is a synod, a good and faithful synod should actually deal with all these false pastors. Sadly, the PP Church now has no more synod. So every, in a way, in the PP Church, every church does what is right in its own eyes. Sounds good, but as you will see later in verse 31 is actually very bad. So understand what the purpose of election is for. On the other hand, is if let's say there are faithful pastors, those that are truly called by God, and we decide that, hey, you know what, this is not what I want in the congregation. Then of course, the Lord will hold the person accountable for the vote. So you have to understand this. Don't understand, then the church election will also descend to be like that of the world. And it will be very, very sad. The problem here in verse 31 is not only the prophets that prophesy falsely, but when it comes to the priests, they bear rule by their means. So in other words, they pursue self-will. They want to do things in their own way. What is right in their own eyes. In other words, this is just a continuation of what you can find in the book of Judges, where every man does what is right in their own eyes. Only in this case, it went all the way until the what? Went all the way until the priest. When the priests rule by their own means, and here literally is, they take matters into their own hands and do it their own way. That's why one of the songs I deeply dislike is the song by Frank Sinatra. Do you know the song by Frank Sinatra? I think the younger Ebenezer do not know. Daniel, do you know Frank Sinatra? Do you know the song My Way? I Did It My Way? Christians must hate that song very much, I believe. I Did It My Way. It cannot be I Did It My Way. It must always be I Do It God's Way. But down here, the priests, they did it their way. And of course, later on you will see that the people also did it. Follow the same spirit. When you have self-will in the congregation, it is a precursor of death. It is a major hindrance to revival. In other words, you think that your wisdom is higher than God's wisdom and you refuse to submit to God's wisdom. You just want to follow what you think is best for yourself, not what God thinks is best for you. And what here the scriptures basically means is that you have the prophets sinning against God. And what do the priests do? The priests, they also sin against God, and they are actually encouraging one another to sin against God. In other words, they are scratching one another's back. That's all. Nobody is doing anything to point people to the truth. And in fact, if you look at the history of Israel, you will find situations whereby the priests themselves are actually no more than puppets. Recently, we are just studying in the church Bible study, the tail end of the book of Judges. And in the tail end of the book of Judges, you have a priest Levite by the name of Jonathan, the son of Gershon. And what happened was that there was this man who was called Micah. He had a house full of idols. Of course, when he bowed before the idols, he took it as he's worshipping Jehovah. So even though God is a spirit, but they constructed various idols and they worship Jehovah in the form of statues, images. And so along the way, this Levite came, and so Micah invited him to be a priest of that particular household. And Micah in the end became a father unto this priest. So it's not the priest that is leading here. Micah asked him to come and then you be the priest, and then Micah fed him, gave him all the benefits. What use is this priest? Useless, right? And then the worst thing was that later on, when the tribe of Dan came across, they saw this house of idols. They wanted to take all these idols for themselves, so they went in, they took all the idols, and after that they told this priest, "Do you want to be a priest of a household, or do you want to be a priest of a tribe?" So, what did Jonathan do? He went to join them. But the shocking thing that is recorded in the scripture is not that he went to join them. He went to join them, of course, it's wrong. But some of us may think, oh, it's because he was coerced. But the scripture says he was not coerced. He was glad to join them. The word is glad. That's the spirit that exactly you see right here. This is why it's very important to understand what you expect actually of a leader of the church, what you expect of a pastor. The pastor should not be present in a congregation just to justify the existence of a congregation. Oh, in order to give a legitimacy to a church, we need somebody to be able to conduct the Lord's Supper. We need somebody to baptize, and we need somebody consistently to appear on the pulpit on Sunday, to appear in fellowship groups and to speak, so that it gives legitimacy to the existence of a church. If that is the congregation's idea of a pastor, then what is the point of a pastor? This pastor, if he accepts this, he will be Jonathan. Come in, I accept this, be the priest of a household, or maybe, let's say if the church is big enough, it's a congregation, and just enjoy getting they will take it as getting a salary. Oops. And he will rule according to what he thinks is good for himself, whatever he thinks can fit his stomach. When there is this kind of spirit, it's gone. when you realize that the rule of the church is not according to the scriptures, but it's according to the whims and fancies of the leaders, then that is a major hindrance to revival. That's why I better pray that Tabernacle PP Church will have the right leaders. It's very important. We must have the right perspective of the elections to come. It's extremely important. It's not something that is a routine. It's something we have to ask a very important question. Are these men truly called to this congregation to lead God's people? And you must have the right understanding of their roles and their burdens and their responsibilities and the qualities that are needed, and you vote accordingly. If you get a group of elders, pastors, that rule by self-rule, not according to the scripture, the church will die. Guaranteed. And let's say if you come to realize it, that it happens, well, at least in Singapore, we are thankful that election comes every 3 years, but it will be 3 years of agony. So, this is something that we have to bear in mind. But what really sealed it right here in Jeremiah is this. Look at verse 31, the last part of it. My people love to have it so. Just like Jonathan was glad. In this case, the people have such pastors, such priests, it pleases them. So in other words, they love sin. Plain and simple. Because they want to hold on to their sin, in their pride, in their unrepentant spirit, no matter what happens, you realize that there is no way out of that cycle that will spiral down to death. What is happening now in Christianity is that when there are faithful pastors, there is little submission to faithful pastors. People begin to ask, why should we submit? Why should we trust one man rule? One man rule. Actually, there is a board of elders. But often, then again, whether the board of elders are being a board of elders, they are aware of their responsibilities, and whether they will work together is another problem altogether. If they don't, then it's a big issue. Very, very painful for the congregation. But when they have pastors, elders, that will come and encourage them to sin, they want such pastors and elders. Why? It's a very simple explanation. Because they love sin. They love death. If you love death, and you want to continue to love death, there is no way you will be a people that will be lively. True? Because whatever you love, you will go all out for it. Just like, for example, there are certain foods that you all love. Will you all go out for it? Yes. What is the food that you love, Victor?
I love foods.
sorry.
Si.
Isabel is loving. Or fruits. You like fruits, you go out for fruits. Right, so later when the watermelon is brought out, we will help to finish it. Alright, yeah, just pulling your leg, yeah. But no, if there are food space on the table, you will go for it, right? Over all things that are there. So if a person loves death, loves sin, they will want to go for it, isn't it? And anybody that can come and allow them to continue their way of sin, they will love that person. Just like Michael. Why did Michael have Jonathan to come into the house? He really want to give a legitimacy to his entire household to have these idols. In fact, when Jonathan came in, if you look at that passage very carefully, he ended up praising God. Right? And maybe it's good for you to take a look. Right, you turn with me to Judges. Right, Judges chapter 19. So not Judges chapter 19, Judges chapter 18. Sorry again, I beg your pardon. It should be 17 rather, because we're talking about Micah. Right, Judges chapter 17. And then you look at verses 7 to 13. Right? This is that passage. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. Well, he wanted Micah to be a father and a priest. But actually, who was the real father in this case? It was Micah, because he was the one that was hired. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel and the victuals. So the Levite went in. So this Levite was basically a hireling. And he's going in to support falsehood, right? To be the priest of this Michael, who had a house of gods. In this house of gods, he also had an ephod, he also had a teraphim, or rather, he also had teraphims. And then he willingly went. Why? Because there was money to be earned. So he went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then you know what Micah said. That is the key. Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. So this is a person who loved a priest that bear rule by his own means, a priest that will also teach falsely. He loved it so. Is that not death or what? That is death. And that is where it is also your responsibility, every one of you, to make sure that you do not love death. Because if you love death, then not only will you pursue sin in your life, you will love the people that will encourage you to sin. You will have them to be placed on the leadership because in your heart, you will say, it gives me legitimacy to continue to sin. And you will do so by mentioning what? By mentioning the name of God. Well, I thank God that this is so because now I have a Levite as a priest. It's just like, for example, you go to FEBC and in FEBC you have all kinds of students. You have true students and you also have false students. Right, William? So you go and find one. This one always preach against him. Don't want. Come in, always preach that I'm no good. Always preach evil against me. Sounds like the wicked kings will say to the prophets, please don't ask the prophet to come because they always preach evil against me. So they don't want. Hey, this one, very, very kind, very smiley, looks very gentle. And then he will say that we are good. Hey, this one is a good one. Come. And then after that, come and then try outside a means to have the person to be ordained. And after that says, praise the Lord. This is a proper church with a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have an FEBC graduate. You are fooling yourself. You just got yourself someone who will scratch your back too. So basically this is the picture. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. The pastor scratch the elder's back, the elder scratch the pastor's back, the deacon scratch the board of elders' back, the board of elders scratch the deacon's back, and the people scratch the church leader's back, the church leader scratch the people's back. Everybody is scratching one another's back. If you do that, sorry. No revival. And that is exactly why there is judgment now for the children of Israel. That's why at the end of verse 31, God's word here says, and what will he do in the end thereof? So in other words, now that you have such a situation, when you carry on down this route until the sin is full, what are you therefore going to do to stop the judgment of God? What are you therefore going to do to be able to stop death? There is nothing you can do. Because if God says, hey, I'm not going to judge, I'm not going to shut down this witness, I'm going to let it continue, what does this make God to be? How can God therefore be called a holy God? How can God therefore be called a just God? How can God therefore be called a God of truth? That's why now it's too late for the children of Israel. Everything has to be shut down, refreshed, start anew. We pray that while there is opportunity for us to make sure that this is not the case, we must do so with all diligence to make sure, firstly, no false teaching. Secondly, no self-rule, no self-will. Thirdly, no love of sin. These three things, we must make sure it's not present. If you want to hang on to these three things and scratch one another's back with a man-centered religion, it is over. It is really over. And if this persists, those who are godly, they try their best to help. And in the end, it cannot be resolved. You would not be surprised to find that the godly will leave this congregation. You will not be surprised. Unless the scratching of one another's backs stop. So, are you willing to have all these things to be corrected? That is the demand if you say you want revival. And if really these issues are present in a congregation, then let it end immediately. And don't scratch one another's backs. Be one another's keepers. That's the workshop just now, right? Take note. May the Lord help you all to understand these issues. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy precious word which you have given to us. And how, Father, we ask that you will help thy people to understand these things. When there is sin in the camp, how can we, who should be concerned of thy glory and for our fellow brother and sister in Christ, not do our very best, O Lord, to help them to see the error of their ways and to come out of sin? Yea, how can we, as thy people, love sin in the first place? O Lord, please teach us the seriousness of these matters. Because if we were to hang on to our own pride, Father, as so often times we are so tempted to be, then sin will lead to death. But Lord, we do not want death, we want life. So please, Father, teach us to love thy word, to love life, especially to understand the responsibilities of this eternal life that you have given to us. How this life, O Lord, must be used to serve thee, to walk in holiness, to bear much fruit to the praise and glory of thy name. So may each one of thy children, O Lord, consecrate ourselves to thee in full surrender. Many of thy children here, O Lord, they are seeking thy will with regards to their life, what you would want to have them to do. Please, O Lord, show them the way. And we pray that even from this generation, if thou were to be very gracious to us, that you will also call some men and women, yea, more men and women, who will be willing to give up the attractions of the world and to fully surrender to thy call, even to minister in thy precious word. And for the rest, O Lord, each one has a unique call that you have given to them. Help each one also to abide faithfully in that call, in that station, and to serve thee with all the strength which you give to them, and to serve thee also in truth. So hear our humble cry, O Lord, as we commit these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.